let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back. Does anybody else want to stay? Let's ride!
This song is rad. Yo, listen to this. Listen to this breakdown. Okay. It gets so nasty. And it makes you want to be like a villain in some 1980s cyberpunk film. Something like that. Okay. It's by Perturbator. Perturbator. Perturbator? Perturbator. It's called Vile World. You know. I don't know what to say anymore. Check out this beer. War Flag. It's an American Pilsner, whatever that means. I don't know anything about beer. But we ran out of water here. So I need something to sip on because, you know, by the 30 minute mark when we're just going straight, that's why we need breaks. I need to start planning breaks where we don't necessarily go to commercials, but we go to like funny videos and stuff like that. Just give me a break. But we're hanging out here. It's Tuesday night. I got to listen to last night's show. You know what? It wasn't that bad. And when I started believing that it was tanking, it was actually kind of funny to me. Then again, I like when things go wrong. When things go wrong, it's especially when you have some distance from it. When you're in the middle of it, it's like you're steering a ship off the edge of the earth. But it was a lot of fun, and I'll tell you. I was very, very happy when I got into the studio tonight because I got 3 more letters here I got to bring home. One of them is from Gadget Doc, who's got pretty awesome handwriting so far from the outside. And we got Jackie Milam here and somebody else from Trenton, New Jersey, who put no return address. There's no return address on this, so I don't know.
I have to examine that.
Because of no return?
Yes, I have to be the one that opens it.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
There's something in there that, you know.
So if there's anthrax in here, what would you do with it?
It wouldn't bother me at all. I'd send it to someone, you know, I wanted to get poisoned. No,
okay.
I wouldn't do that.
Hey, you know, I actually have an article tonight, Matt, that I only have because I thought of you. Okay, we're going to get around to it. In fact, you know what? Let's get around to it right now. And then I have to get around to Castro in Cuba. So listen to this. This is from DallasNews.com. Hold on a second. You got to see this guy. Look at this guy. He's just having a good time. He's behind bars now. When Twitter trolling lands you in jail, Dallas case tests limits of free speech. Babak Tezardee is a troll. One of his Twitter personas boasts the bio, "I'm smarter than you unless you are really smart." He claims he has, quote, a different sense of humor, end quote. He peppers his tweets with profanity. He plays an online character, one he says doesn't reflect who he really is. The character has gotten him into trouble. Tazerday, or whatever his name, I'm just going to call him Babak, sits in Dallas County Jail, where he's been since June, held on a felony stalking charge. He's accused of using social media to harass a judge who oversaw a criminal case against him. Matt, take the... Before his arrest, he regularly commented online on political issues and public figures. Babak believes he was exercising his rights to free speech and to petition the government when he posted negative comments on social media about a state district judge. But authorities see it differently. They say Babak's tweets threatened physical harm. The arrest warrant affidavit said Judge Brandon Birmingham, quote, is in fear of his life for the life of his family and for his own because of Babak's messages on social media posts. In a time when everyone seems to have an online opinion, when people are emboldened by the anonymity of screen names, the case against Babak shows the limits of free speech. The First Amendment protects freedom of speech, religion, press, the right to assemble and to petition the government, and it prevents the government from punishing people who exercise those rights, unless you're Barack Obama. And though hate speech is protected, there is a line when a person's safety is threatened, legal experts say. Quote, it has always been a huge tension there, concerns about safety versus having an opinion, having an open dialogue, and being able to criticize public officials. Now, the tweet that he actually got in trouble with on June 8th says, want to see me bitch slap a state district judge? I am not one to trifle with.
Oh, yeah, that's a direct threat. I've never done anything as blatant that as
dude,
that.
That's well, not even very direct.
No, it's not.
A direct threat is to tell somebody, I'm going to fucking slap you next time I see you in public. This is just, you know, so just saying.
Well, I mean, what I do, I messaged one ex United States senator, you know, telling him he should be dragged out of his house and brought to prison and, like, you know, tarred and feathered, stuff like that. And
right,
his
right.
family should pay the price that, for that, his.
Did you hear what I did? You
well.
Hear the tweet? Did you hear the tweet I just read back to you?
Yeah. But also, you know, the dude I did wasn't an active in his senatorship or whatever, but this was an active judge. You don't go and do that to him. You
can't
know,
do
active
it,
judge.
Period. This is just, it doesn't matter if it's active or whatnot. Yeah. Look, I wanted to read that to you.
To an ex-senator and most recently a school teacher out west who is fitting into her social studies curriculum that pretty much all conservatives are racist and that Trump won the election because of white conservative racists. So I sent her a message and gave her a piece of my mind as well.
Well, in either case, I only do that because A, I think it's funny. And B, because obviously we want to see you out of custody and in the show's custody and here chilling out with us every night. So I just wanted to read that, just to let you know that it's not a matter of, you know, it's a matter of how somebody else interprets it. And as the world becomes more and more arbitrary, rights become a little bit more, you know, I don't know, endangered. So let's get around to something else. Let's see who's in the chat room for the first bit. 7:06 right now. Government, stop. That was Moonlit Matt. Shakes fist angrily at government, says Nikki. And of course, Stephanie Evil is in the chat room. By the way, before I get around to this, everybody, please, if you go to gaslight.tv, we've got great stuff out. In the last couple of days alone, we've had three new additions to the Gaslight Original section. We've got Fidel Castro and the Chamber of Echoes by Based Heisenberg. Our good buddy Ben, you might know him on Tumblr. Then also from Red Blooded America, also on Tumblr, What You Need to Know About Jill Stein's 2016 Recount Scam. Check that out on gaslight.tv. And of course, the latest one to be added today by Gadget Doc, Donald Trump's, oh, Trump. Trump's, apostrophe yes, Gadget Doc. Donald Trump's march to death camps begins. Of course, it's satire, but it's talking about the reaction to the flag burning statements he made this morning, which of course people are also pointing out to be one of the another, whether it's indirect or direct. You know, I can't believe that he really is just some kind of a mastermind. I really think he believes some of these things, and it's just starting to trip the media up. But indirectly, I believe that he trolled the media once again by making this comment about flag burners and how they should either have their citizenship revoked or see jail time, because, of course, it's exactly, almost exactly, what Hillary Clinton was asking for in her 2005 Flag Protection Act or whatever it is. We have the information on that law, not a tweet early in the morning once again, but a law that was being proposed that was co-sponsored by Hillary Clinton that imposed fines and jail time of up to 1 year for burning, desecrating the flag. So every time he speaks, he seems to lure the press into some kind of hypocritical trap going after him, even though, you know, so that's actually probably what we all we may have to say on the subject. Not to beat a dead horse, but please check out Gaslight.tv and all the new stuff there. And also, if you want to become a contributor, send us some of your stuff. Like we said before, it has to be to a certain standard, and you have to show that you're able to put together an article without it having to be edited and revised and all that stuff, and go through all of your drafting on your own, because we don't have an editor on staff, and of course, we need to have some sort of standards. So check that out. Yeah, I'm drinking already. And Mary, it's only, like I said before, it's only because there's no, all of our water jugs over here are empty. And this one was patriotic. War flag, an American Pilsner. So cheers. Saloncha. So where are we at? Fidel Castro. Listen to the investor from investors.com. Fidel Castro myth debunked, a death of a tyrant, not a hero.
A piece of shit.
And we're starting with this because I ultimately want this to be a part of a piece I'm going to put out on Gaslight tomorrow. More specifically on Black Lives Matter, which is going to come up next. I have three articles I want to read in a row. Castro's end, with Fidel Castro's death at 90... What remains of the American big media has been fawning over him. But in fact, Castro, during his 58 years of dictatorship, was an evil man. A communist who tortured, killed, and imprisoned with no remorse. A tyrant who tore a once beautiful country apart and sent its finest citizens into exile. It's all right, we'll take him. Yet the media might as well be going around with black armbands following Castro's death. He was the George Washington of his country, said Jim Avila of ABC's Nightline. He, quote, will be revered for bringing education, social services, and health care to Cubans, gushed MSNBC's Andrea Mitchell. CNN's Martin Savage hailed Castro for, quote, racial integration. Elsewhere in print, the New York Times, as Andrew Clavin would say, a former newspaper, recounted how he dominated, quote, dominated his country with strength and symbolism. On the other hand, over here, American symbolism is thrown to the wayside and castrated and denigrated and called racist and all these other things. Okay? But of course, Castro was a sign of strength and symbolic. But the American flag must be burned at all costs, even though some of the greatest men and women who ever walked the face of the earth carried it as their standard.
I wonder what Castro would have done to people in Cuba if they were burning Cuban flags in public.
Dude, they've already jailed a couple of dissidents. Hold on, everybody. Look at this picture of a Christmas tree. That's a beautiful Christmas tree, isn't it? Listen to Chopin. Listen to Chopin for a second. Hold on, look at this tree again.
The wreath just accentuates it. It's absolutely stunning tree. Douglas fir. Probably looks like it came out of the state of Vermont.
Yeah, Vermont is one of my favorite states.
It is quite lovely there. I've never been, but I just hear it is quite lovely there.
You never been there?
I think I have one.
Never sampled the cheese?
Vermont cheese. I thought they were famous for their syrup.
That too. Maple syrup and cheddar cheese. Cabot. Cabot's from Vermont.
That's right.
All right, let's go back to Chopin. This really,
Cabot.
It keeps me very, very calm. All right, everybody. So let's back to this again. Fidel Castro. Because I wanted to document, I have a couple of things here, and I wanted to get all the best stuff together. Of course, all these things are the kinds of lies and euphemisms used by left-leaning journalists to cover up for Castro's many crimes against humanity. And it's not limited to these few recent examples. ABC's talk queen, Barbara Walters, had what amounted to a middle-aged schoolgirl crush on Fidel. Filmmaker Oliver Stone, perhaps styling himself as a latter-day Hemingway, revered Fidel's macho swagger and made a much-derided documentary about him, Comandante. And Michael Moore, in his film Sicko, swallowed Cuba's propaganda about its healthcare system, hook, line, and sinker. We could go on. The list is long. What you won't hear about any of these media mavens is that at his death, Fidel Castro leaves a Cuba far worse off in almost every way than the one he took over in 1958. His brother Raul, who is 85 years old, has actually been in power in the country since 2006, and Cuba has improved under him, but not much. After taking power in 1958, the then-youthful revolutionary Fidel vowed that no Cuban mother would, quote, shed a tear, end quote, over violence from then on. But once he consolidated power, after defeating Cuba's then-leader, Batista, Fidel Castro set out on a course of extraordinary revolutionary violence. He murdered thousands upon thousands. The late R.J. Rummel, a University of Hawaii professor who tracked mass killings by governments around the world, estimated as many as 141,000 people were murdered by the Castro regime. And that was just through 1987. Since then, of course, thousands more have been killed. Genocide Watch says, quote, it holds the Castro regime responsible for the deaths of thousands of people executed and died trying to free the regime. Both Belgium and Castro's homeland, Spain, have leveled genocide charges against Jefe Máximo. Sadly, Castro's Cuba isn't all unusual for communist regimes, as noted by Rummel. Clearly, all of the regimes, communist ones, have been by far, of all the regimes, communist ones have been by far the greatest killer, he said. Everybody hear that? I mean, we probably say it once or twice a night anyway, and we bring up really good history to back it up, but does everybody hear it once again? I was looking at the wrong camera. I'm becoming, because I got the second camera angle here, because I realized that when I'm reading stuff over here, everybody's just looking at my terrible profile. So I had to, I said, you know what, let me just do this from reading over here. So now I'm becoming Dr. Stephen Brule. I don't know what direction to look in anymore. Ding, 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 ding. I need it more. I need more of this. What's especially galling is the suggestion. We're back to the article again. What's especially galling, is the suggestion, present in almost every story on Castro's demise, that he took an impoverished, oppressed nation and turned it into a kind of socialist paradise with education, social services, and healthcare for all. This is an utter and complete lie, but don't take our word for it. Quote, one feature of the Cuban socialist structure is a large middle class, end quote. The Geneva-based International Labor Organization said in a 1957 report. Cuban workers are more unionized, proportional to the population, than U.S. workers. The average wage for an 8-hour day in Cuba in 1957 is higher than it is for workers in Belgium, Denmark, France, and Germany. Cuban labor receives about 66.6% in the U. What the hell is that? Upstairs? That's above us? Is that a banging or is it somebody rolling around on a sons of bitches. Yo, that's going to really piss me off if this. But you said they're just moving in. Okay. If this is a normal activity, I'm going to be real pissed. Let me read all this over again. So from here's a Geneva-based International Labor Organization report, okay, in 1957. Let me just say this again. This is 57. Cuban workers are more unionized than U.S. workers. The average wage for an eight-hour day in Cuba in 1957 is higher than that for workers in Belgium, Denmark, France, and Germany. Cuban labor receives 66%. In the U.S., the figure is 70%. In Switzerland, 64%, and 44% of Cubans are covered by social legislation, a higher percentage than in the U.S. Okay, that's before the revolution. Numbers taken from the most comprehensive global database available, created by the late economist Angus Madison, show that in 1958, real GDP per person was $2,406. At the time, that was the second highest in Latin America. Okay, that's real gross domestic product per person. Okay, yearly. By 2008, that had risen to just $3,764 a person. A mere 1.2% annual growth rate. Cuba has the worst economy in Latin America outside of Haiti and Nicaragua. And we all know that the only reason why there are not more Haitians running to the U.S. right now, because there are definitely tens of thousands of Nicaraguans that are trying to make their way up in through the southern border. So we know that both of those, but the only thing keeping Haitians from running over here is, of course, that Haiti is an island, next door neighbor to the DR. You know? It's the only reason why Cuba hasn't completely filed out completely. And that actually gets around into some of the worst parts. So, before the revolution, Cuba had the 13th lowest infant mortality rate in the world. It was lower than France, Belgium, and West Germany. Okay? Today, it ranks about 40th. That still looks respectable until you consider how it was accomplished. Cuba has one of the highest abortion rates in the world. At the first sign of any trouble when a woman is carrying a baby, it is aborted regardless of the parents' wishes. That's why their infant mortality rate isn't even worse. Stranger things, man. Stranger things. But surely healthcare is all a major accomplishment, right? No, says the author at investors.com. As has been noted in many other places, Cuba has three separate healthcare systems. This is well documented. You check it out. In fact, one of the reasons why I went with this article in particular is because it hit on all the different points I was hoping to consolidate, but I didn't want to do the work. So I was trying to see if there was an article that summed it all up the best, so I could do less work. I still think I'm spinning my wheels in mud. We'll talk about that later. I definitely want to make some... I need to get some interns on. Here's another for... Hold on a second. Three healthcare systems. One is for paying customers from places like the U.S. who go to Cuba for discount treatments on cosmetic surgery and the like. So there is a way to get private attention. There's another for Cuba's ruling communist elite, and it's also a good system. This is a healthcare system visiting. This is the healthcare system visiting journalists are taken to see, and they're later on. They go on and they report on in glowing fashion, because of course when they're out there and they see, oh hey, I made out well. Well, that's because you need to be shown some good care. You need to be. And, of course, you're privileged. But there's another system for the rest, the average Cuban. It's abysmal, and that's not that's actually might be an understatement of how bad it is. Now, I've known about this, and another reason why I was looking for this article is because I know that, just from the people I've spoken to, that these hospitals in Cuba are so bad that when you go to get medical treatment, you need to bring your own toilet paper, clean sheets, and other toiletries with you, because they can't even provide those types of basic standards of cleanliness and sterile conditions. They don't. It's, I guess it's not in the budget. Cubans who require medical attention must go to other hospitals that lack the most minimal requirements needed to take care of their patients. It goes on, quote, in addition, most of these facilities are filthy, and patients have to bring their own towels, bed sheets, pillows, or they have to lay down on dirty bare mattresses stained with blood and other bodily fluids left from people that came before them. Came and went, obviously. As doctors, well, they make an average about $25 to $35 a month. Many have to work second jobs to make ends meet using substandard equipment. Drug shortages are rife. As a result, one of Cuba's ongoing problems is that doctors leave as soon as they can for other countries where they can make a decent living. The country has over 30... And this is why people like Rand Paul call the Affordable Care Act slavery. You know, you're enslaving doctors. Socialized medicine. You're starting to get into the business of enslaving doctors. As a result, one of Cuba's ongoing problems is that doctors leave. Okay. The country has over 30,000 doctors working overseas officially. Why? Out of kindness? No, the Castro regime earns an estimated $2.5 billion a year in hard currency from doctors working elsewhere, which means Cuba's poor must go without decent care or access to doctors. As for universal literacy, please, primary and secondary schools are little more than Marxist indoctrination centers, where students are taught that only the state wants them to know. That's how they keep people quiet. And of course, we're seeing our own type of media war here, but obviously we're a little bit more free than Cuba is. And our media war in trying, and of course we've been labeled conspiracy theorists for thinking outside of the box. You've been labeled, now it's everything is fake news. So there is that, and we've uncovered the root of state-run media in this country. The closest thing to state media that we can have, because when you have these political parties that are pretty much just constantly wearing the bio suit of government, I mean, they pretty much are the state. The parties and all the corporations that back them and all the special interests and the lobbying and that's going on, that is the state. It is. They're the ones making the decisions. It's quite literally what's going on. They're the ones making the decisions. And because that is the case, they are the state. And they own the media, so it's the state's media. It's their mouthpieces. It's their spin machines. That's it. Those are the priests. You know. People watch CNN and MSNBC tonight like they're receiving the Eucharist. It's fucking unbelievable. They read Salon like they're receiving the Eucharist. Huffington Post, Fox News, like they're receiving the Eucharist. God damn. The pacifier is what got us in trouble, everybody, in the beginning. That's what got us in trouble. Don't say that alternative sources of information should all be discredited. We have to be the fact checkers. Problem is that we've got a bunch of cognitively biased people that don't care about any of that stuff, and they don't have any kind of sentimental attachment to family or country much anymore. Everybody's their own little political operative. If you don't think that that's happening, that if you think that's not happening, you're nuts. That's people are becoming detached from their families, their friends, everything, even when they're physically present in the room. Detachment is oh my God, there's many layers to that onion. We're being detached. There's something about the commentary that goes on constantly. You can say I'm doing the same thing. But, you know, radio is something we always did. I guess the conversation's just changed. That's it, man. Everybody's their own news source. That's the thing. What else is in here? A couple more terrible things that everybody should hear about. As for universal literacy, then there's Cuber. Like Mrs. Kassebaum in sixth grade.
Sound like Cuber. John Kennedy said Cuber too.
Yeah, Cuber. Then there's Cuba's higher education, in which universities are training centers for bureaucrats, totally disconnected from the needs of today's world. To enter the best careers in the best universities, people must be related to the bureaucratic elites and also demonstrate a deep ideological conviction, notes Colombian journalist Vanessa Vallejo of the Pan Am Post, a Latin American news site. Nor is it, quote, free. In fact, those who graduate from college must work for a number of years for the government at a substandard wage of $9 a month. They are, in effect, slave labor. As with the free things the socialists offer, the price is very high and non-negotiable. In sum, Castro took a healthy country and made it sick. Those who glorify him deserve the scorn they get for propagating such a long-standing lie. A less megalomaniacal ruler would have considered Cuba's pre-revolutionary economy a golden goose landing in his lap, wrote Humberto Fontova, a Cuban exile and author of Fidel, Hollywood's favorite tyrant. But Castro wrung its neck. He deliberately and methodically wrecked Latin America's premier economy. I want to just stop for a second and speak, because when I read stuff like this, this is what wells up in me. And I believe it's a job of mine now to put that out there when it wells up in me while we're on air. But if I can just, I wish, if I would be able to just get onto a talk box that I got to everybody who thinks one way or another about what Americans' perception are of people from Latin America, I wish there was a way to just slap some people around and just wake the rest up to say that this is really not, they're making it about color. They're making it about culture. Some kind of invisible, a culture war that never had to take place. They're making it about this shit. This is about ideology. And this ideology uses race. It uses some certain aspects of religion. It uses culture to sell what is in itself a very, very universal religion. That's what it is. It's state worship. It's by force. It's so religious in itself, and one of its weapons, one of its modes of control, is race. That is number one. It's race. In this country, it's being used against us to tear the society apart and to tear apart what was once a very thriving, confident, diverse society. And we were doing just fine. We are doing just fine. We are evolving just fine. Not perfect, because you're never going to get a perfect anything. You're just, it was the best shot that we had. A place where people can be themselves and society can just go through its evolutionary cycles socially. But the ideology here allows for social evolving. Okay? Our ideology allows for social evolution. Freedom of the individual, the First Amendment, the Bill of Rights, it sets up a society that allows for social revolution over and over. A social, peaceful, over and over, just evolution, revolution, great stuff. Allows us to go through our growing pains and learn from them. You know? And, but that's not what this other place is. That other world, this world of the socialist utopia that we're always being sold. The big dream, the socialism, the communism that wasn't installed right. That's a very, very dark world. That's a very dark world. And why is that? Because it doesn't want you to be diverse. And that's the reason why, you know, it doesn't want you to be diverse. It wants you to be at war with yourself and completely dependent. It needs you to do that. And that's why these hell holes are created. But that can't happen in a free society. Not when people can say what they feel and act on that, know the consequences, and that there's a system of laws there, and that we just try to hold ourselves to a standard, do the best we can, and keep it as small, as responsible as we can. Because if there was a time that we could handle the Constitution, I mean, for fuck's sake, we didn't even have an income tax until 1913. You know, so if we were able to once be so much more free than we are right now, as far as our individual rights and in relation to government and all that stuff, and of course the social conditions that have been created, holy fuck, man, we can't talk about anarchism just yet. We have to take it a couple steps back. So that's just what runs through my head. That's what goes through my head constantly. It's not about race. Because believe me, when I watch, even when I watch this, like Godfather 2, and I see Cuba, yeah, now obviously it's a mafia. There's a mafia deal going on out there. Well, whose deal was that? Hyman Roth? Was Hyman Roth the guy out in Cuba that Michael yeah. Corleone was working with?
Yep, Hyman Roth.
Hyman Roth.
Buster Hyman.
But, so many countries have been destroyed. So many cultures have been destroyed because of this. And the ones who are getting away with it and always have been, the type of people, they never, ever. They just skate by. Some of them take the blame. But at that point, like I said, these are priests and priestesses. That's what they are. So you cut one off, then you're just flushing patsies. But I think we're on a good track right now. I think people are waking up. I really do. I think we're waking up. I think people are getting a little bit more confident to just say anything. Just to exercise the right to say things and to say anything, which can get messy, and it doesn't always look good. It doesn't always make you look good, but that's a common human response. You tell somebody you can't do something for long enough, and you just say, you know what? Fuck you. It's my life, motherfucker. And you just do something stupid. Christ's sake, that's probably why so many people cheat. You know, you just You just hear. It's just like you get into cycles. So that's just what we do. It reminds us that we're human, even though it's not always a good result. How about race relations? By Cuba's own estimates, we're spending time on Cuba tonight. It's okay. We're learning. We're having a good time, right? Everybody's learning. By Cuba's own estimates, roughly 36% of the country is black or mixed. Other estimates put it much higher, as high as 50%. Nonetheless, a study five years ago by the online journal Socialism and Democracy found black and mixed populations on average are concentrated in the worst housing conditions and tend to work in lower paying jobs and manual labor jobs. They don't have you doing that over here in the U.S. yet, because we still have enough money to pay for you to do nothing. Okay, everybody who thinks they have it hard right now, you haven't been put into the gulag yet. Because let me tell you something. You're going to be put into the gulag. And why is that? Because ultimately, the power brokers of the world know that people still need to own or run businesses. You can't take those people out. Unless you nationalize a business, you put your own people in to run it. Actually, fuck it. Forget about it. Sorry. It's been done before, Frank. Nonetheless, five years ago, we talked about that, yeah, manual labor jobs, will save up for a later date Castro's many crimes in 58 years of silent war against the U.S., his allowing Soviet nuclear missiles on his soil in order to threaten the U.S., his repeated intervention with other countries, his assassinations, his obscure theft of hundreds of millions of dollars of Cuban's wealth to line his pocket. Yeah, remember, this guy almost started a thermonuclear war.
He released all his criminals into the United States.
He's also harboring American refugees who were cop killers and whatnot, which is one of the reasons why that Black Lives Matter put out a beautiful, beautiful obituary for Castro and praised him. And this was part of the reason what I wanted to bring up tonight, as we got to this part of the article, where we were talking about what race relations are like in these beautiful socialist countries. Because this is not, these movements, they don't care about you. They don't care about black people. They don't care about Hispanic people or anything like that. Sure, they have blacks and Hispanics in their leadership and up in their ranks. Like, I'm talking about Black Lives Matter, La Raza, you know, anything. They don't care about their ideologues. These are people who are studying political ideologies of the past. Communists, Marxists, Leninists. That's who these people are. It's not about what's best for black people. It's not. That's what I'm telling you. All my black friends, and all my black friends I have not met yet, if you see this, you've got to take this opportunity to look at who is praising people like Fidel Castro and their body of work throughout their lives. Look at who is praising them and why they're praising them, and look at how these countries are, and look at how bad this country is getting as we're becoming more and more like theirs. Ask yourself and look at this stuff objectively and say, do they really have my best interests? And then say to yourself, but I have a real problem with what's going on in society, with black incarceration and with the drug war and with the state of inner cities and all and relationships between police and their communities in the inner cities. Crime rates domestically, all that other stuff. You have a real problem with all that. So do I. So does a lot of other people. But the problem is that your very, very well-meaning intent to try to affect some kind of good change has been hijacked by people who don't care about your happiness. And you're looking in the wrong place for it. You should be looking to liberty. You should be looking into what the alternatives outside of government is, outside of this centralized type of Marxist approach to things, where it's power and enforcement and authoritarianism. When it's power and law enforcement and authoritarianism that has gotten us this uncomfortable. You feeling it the worst. Why are you doubling down? Take this opportunity, please, and rethink your allegiances right now. And rethink your approach. It's not that what you feel is wrong with the country is invalid. But this is the only place on earth, the only place on earth, the best place on earth that we had to be able to talk about those issues and address them. Because we had a system that allowed for everybody from the local level, which is where it was supposed to matter the most, on up to be involved. But you're not being shown that there is a way out there to do that, except through stomping your feet, whining, demanding things happen now for your immediate gratification, and not thinking about building a future. Not really thinking about investing into society. Everybody's always talking about global warming and all this shit that we need to be taxed for and give up our sovereignty over and our decision making and harness our industries. Everybody's always talking about this shit, about the building for the future. But the greatest irony is that you are ensuring that we don't get to that future. Or you're making it harder for us to get to that future. You turn our sprint into a crawl and you call it progress. Get the fuck out of our way. Do you. This is the place where you were able to do you. You just can't expect for somebody else to float you while you do you, though. You can't expect that. You can't expect that kind of treatment and that kind of safety net and expect to live in a free society. Because you have to give up something to get that. And to get that, you have to give up a lot. For everybody in the chat room, the Skype is on. So it's... So what's going on in the chat room right now? Everybody's hanging. Well, you know what? It's 7:45, and we have an 8 o'clock show tonight. Joe and Jonesy are going live from the studio for Broken Filter Live. If you want to watch them, like them on Facebook. Broken Filter Podcast. What is their face? Do they? Because I know they have a group, but do they go live? They go live from a fan page or a group? You can go live to both fan pages and groups now on Facebook? Because everybody should check out Joe and Jonesy. They used to go on right after us when we were ZenLive.tv, but now everybody's still doing their broadcast from the studio, but they're going and building up their own channels now, which is what we got going on here. And by the way, oh, yeah, yeah, Nikki, I would definitely do a graduation day speech somewhere at a high school, but I'd have to get a little stoned first and then drink a beer. So, HUAC, I had some notes I wanted to do. I also have the note here that I'm trying to get rid of ham and ziti. If anybody wants ham, I have so much ham. And it's only got a couple more days until it's not going to be that good anymore. And a lot of baked ziti, at least another 5.5 pounds of baked ziti. So there's that. So if you're in the tri-state area and you want either ham and or ziti, please get in touch with me at Political Orgy on Twitter. And we will send a courier What else I want to talk about here? Motherfuckers are banging up there. I want to talk about here, burn after reading. I'll talk about that later. Let me say all my thank yous. Everybody, please, if you like this show, if you like the type of stuff that we talk about every night, go to patreon.com/quitefrankly and become one of my Patreon patriots, my bosses. We've got the 1984 Club, the 1776 Club, and that is where we become pen pals, and we do the Google Hangouts. There's also just a Google Hangout package there, a $10, or you can just put a dollar in there. I would love to see you guys. I would love to see your names in the contributors. That's it. A dollar, four quarters a month. I don't care. I'd love to see the contributors up to 150. That's what I want to see. That make me feel good inside. But check that out, because this is how we're going to grow this show in the future. Aside from one other thing that you can do, whether and it's free. Go on iTunes, SoundCloud, subscribe, like, share it with a friend, give it some stars on iTunes, and I love reading the iTunes reviews on air. So by all means, leave some reviews so I can read it on air. Casas was the last one I read, and that was a lot of fun. But now I want to thank my bosses. What's the song I like to do that? Hold on. Okay, this will just have to do. All right. So Michael Wells, Nikki Solis, who actually upped her contribution to 1999. But she still gets a letter, of course, because fuck yes. We'll do like a 1990 something, a really good year in my life or something. Well, I'll think about it when the other two sell out. Andrew Great Dame, I got a letter from Andrew. Laura Veris, Perry and Stacy Little, Mr. Mike May, who's making the intro. He said the intro will be done by this weekend, so you guys might be able to see the new intro on Monday. Matt Smith, who sent me in the letter he wrote me before, a tracing of his handgun. Sean Collins, which actually is actually kind of threatening if I didn't know who he was. To talk about being jailed for a tweet. Sean Collins, the walking Sean Connery cocktail. Christian Peppas and Caporato, Rob Corrado, LS Dan. Hurrah, hurrah, old AB ended savory. Hurrah, 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 1863, old AB ended savory. And we'll all drink stone wine when Johnny comes marching home. What's stone wine? And we'll all drink stone wine when Johnny comes marching home. Yo, somebody call in and tell me what... If somebody knows what stone wine is, can call up, because I have some more thank yous to do. LS Dan, so Dan Spratlin, thank you so much, man. LS Dan. And Dan was actually one of the guys, I actually talked to Dan a little bit today. Dan was one of the guys that that actually discovered this show through the broadcast we were doing with Tim Pool. And I really like doing that podcast. I was talking to Tim today, actually, and he's going out to cover the, I think what's going on with the Dakota standoff with the pipeline. So he's going out there to cover that. But when he gets back, I, you know, love to just keep doing the podcast with him, because we were finding, I was meeting great new people like LS Dan, you know. Imagine how many more LS Dans. There's only one. Get the hell out of here. The fuck we talking about? Rudy Escarcega, Jackie Milam from Manassas. Actually, Jackie's letter just came in today too. Eric Reitz, Whitney McShann, who will probably be getting her first letter in December. Matt DeFabio, of course, there he is in the 1984 Club. There he is. And his counterpart and his cohort, his first mate, Brad Meyer, who co-founded the 1984 Club. Jenny Lee, Good Girl, Bad Girl, and Kate McCallum. Marianne Hart, prairie cat. She's a lion, a lioness in her own way. She rules the pride. Brian O'Connor, I've got Gadget Doc's letter here. Really snazzy signature so far. Signature. Matt, find that you should be the one looking up for all like the natural man stuff.
I don't know if that dude is doing anything anymore.
And of course, I also want to thank Captain Antilles of Rogue Squadron, Bren Antilles. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for the support. I work hard for you. Trust me. I want to make it worth every goddamn penny. Okay? That's the only reason why I started the Patreon, because I believe I could. That's it. Because I know, like, Rumble and Roar, she could attest. She was suggesting that a long time ago, and I said, I don't think I want to do that. Of course, the biggest reason why I never wanted to start a Patreon is because I never wanted to be embarrassed at knowing that I'd had a Patreon for a couple of months and I only had two contributors. But I'm very, very grateful for this list that I read out every night. And please, please believe me. Okay, 7:53. Is there anything else I can take care of? I pretty much said what I had to say to Black Lives Matter, that thing. I can read this to you of what they said on Medium.com.
All these groups are going to disappear soon. The Trump Reich is coming. He will reckon anything in his path for a 1,000-year Trump Reich.
Listen to this one excerpt, okay, from the Black Lives Matter message. Revolution is rooted in the recognition that there are certain fundamentals to which every being has a right just by virtue of one's birth. Right. Healthy food, clean water, decent housing, safe communities, quality health care, mental health services, free and quality education, community spaces, art, democratic engagement. You've seen their kind of democratic engagement, haven't you? Regular vacations, sports, and places for spiritual expression are not questions of resources, but questions of political will, and they are requirements of any humane society. Imagine the type of power that these people are hungry for to be able to provide, monitor, and regulate an environment that needs to be equally accessible on all those levels to every last person in society without any problems. Without anybody thinking that the one size fits all is a little baggy around the waist or a little too tight. It's like, what the fuck are people thinking? Do they hear themselves? Do they proofread themselves? They really cheer themselves on when they proof this shit? Holy fuck. And then you think you're crazy because you're like, Frank, that's all great stuff. Don't you think everybody should have stuff like that? Like, oh, you almost trick yourself into saying, am I crazy? How can I possibly think that all those things are a bad thing? It's not. They're not bad things. They're great ideas. They're great ideas, but there's only one way that you can have the maximum of all of that, and that is through liberty and through a free market and through freedom, and independence. So, we know that you're obsessed with slavery, and you're obsessed with it so much that you want to enslave. You have some kind of an enslavery, you have slavery fetish. Where you believe you're enslaved or you have suffered in some way from, I mean, for Christ's sake. And, but at the same time, you want to enslave. This is really, I know it's an abusive relationship, but we got to change the conversation somehow. So, stop the commies, blah, blah, blah. Burn after reading. Oh, yeah, the last thing. My movie pick for the night. It's on Netflix. It's a longtime favorite of mine now since 2008, but I haven't seen it or even thought of it in years, and Netflix just added it to their service. Burn After Reading with George Clooney and Brad Pitt and John Malkovich and a few other people. J.K. Simmons. And go watch it. Okay, it's a little bit of a dark comedy. It is a little heady, but it is so twisted in its hilarity. And I know that this audience would actually like it a lot. It's so sick and twisted. And I'll talk about it a little bit more tomorrow as an opening, just what I, because it'll give you some time to go watch it. But it's so twisted, and I'd love to talk about all the reasons why I love it. So we got to talk about movies. We've got to talk about, you know, some of our favorite musical albums. We got to talk about things other than the headlines, and because sometimes the headlines are going to suck, and other times we can't do this all the time. But thank you guys. That's it for tonight. It's 7:58. We're going to go live for Zadal's in New York at 9 o'clock on Facebook. So we'll see you guys there. It's Tuesday night. We're doing a Tuesday night broadcast with Zadal's in New York now. So we'll be on, and hopefully this time our broadcast won't be immediately deleted by Facebook. So there you go. Everybody, have a good one. You all kick ass. Yes, lots of great actors, Nikki says. All right, guys. Goodbye-bye.